Last week's Southwest Alaska Salmon Science Workshop in Anchorage featured a presentation from anthropologist Alan Boris from the Kenai Peninsula College. He was tasked with helping write the traditional ecological knowledge section of the pending Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment. Boris stressed that the native people of Bristol Bay are one of the few remaining salmon cultures on Earth. He then outlined in detail many of the salmon cultures that no longer exist.
Salmon as a keystone species shaped these cultures, as they have shaped the Dena'ina and the Kwajalleq, I'll make the case here, for 4,000 years. For a hunting and gathering type culture, the keystone species will shape institutions of the culture. That's what we wanted to get across to EPA. That's what we wanted to get across, that it wasn't just the amount of fish that people eat. And the wonderful work of Fish and Game Subsistence Division has documented the amount of fish people eat. I'll show you a slide about it later. But if you just count the fish, then compensatory mitigation enters. Okay, well, so the salmon are gone, I'm sorry. But here we'll give you beef. We'll give you steak for the rest of your life. That'd be fine, wouldn't it? The answer is no. Because it is that act that is part of a sustainable culture over time.
The traditional and ecological knowledge information included in the Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment was informed in part by firsthand interviews conducted by Professor Boris and his team with 53 Alaskan Native people in 8 Bristol Bay villages. He stressed that it was important to be able to interview people in their native Yupik.
One of the questions we asked is, are salmon critically important in your lives? And we often ask that if salmon were to disappear for whatever reason, how would it affect your lives? 40 people answered that, and 40 people said, yeah, that's important. Nobody said it wasn't important. Does it matter that the salmon you eat is wild salmon? Yes. 40 said yes, 1 said no. These are homogeneous cultures. People think the same way.
All of those interviewed were asked the same set of questions. Boris noted that one of the questions that seemed to outline the importance of salmon to the culture and the traditional way of life was, how is wealth defined in your community?
We got one of three answers, sometimes all three. We got one of three answers. Freezers full of salmon and wild food, that's wealthy. Some people answered family, and some people answered freedom. Nobody said money. Nobody said a nice car. Nobody said a house on the hillside.
As part of last week's presentation, Professor Boris played some audio clips with some of those who sat down to be interviewed. With a couple of exceptions, he did not identify those who spoke by their full names, including this man.
I feel rich with My freezers fill up. Whenever my freezer fill up, I feel rich.
The traditional and ecological knowledge part of the Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment is labeled as Appendix D, and it includes several conclusions about the potential risks associated with diminishment in either the quantity or quality of salmon or clean water. Those risks include cultural and social disruption, degradation of nutrition and physical health, loss of political power, and loss of meaningful work. The EPA intends to use the Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment to inform its future decision-making about whether or not to put in place safeguards against large-scale mining in the Bristol Bay region. Boris labels it as the most important environmental decision of the Obama administration, and he says it was an honor to be part of the process of putting together the assessment. He anticipates the final version of the assessment will be released in the next couple of months. His presentation last week was part of the Southwest Alaska Salmon Science Workshop that was held in downtown Anchorage at the Hilton Hotel. In Anchorage, I'm Mike Mason.